Psalm 41, in verse 1, we begin reading. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And I want to look at the subject tonight. It's found here on God blesses the benevolent. God blesses the benevolent. Here, as you look at this psalm, Jehovah gives 7 promises to those who are generous, those who are benevolent, those who, as the text says, considereth the poor. These promises include both spiritual and physical things, and these promises include both temporal and eternal things. And if you'll notice in verse 4, it says, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. That these promises reveal God's principle of mercy for the merciful. Because in the beginning of this psalm, he states a statement of fact, blessed is he that considereth the poor. And then he says, the Lord will do all these things. And then he says, Lord, be merciful to me. And Jesus expounded on this type of blessing. We'll come right back here in the book of Matthew 5. It's interesting that the book of the Psalms start out with a blessing. And then whenever Jesus starts his personal ministry on this earth, he starts out with a sermon on blessings, how to be blessed. God would have us to be blessed and to know how to receive, and to know who is and who is not truly blessed. And in Matthew 5 and verse 7, he says, blessed are the merciful. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So those that are merciful to others, those that are giving, those that are generous, those that do for others who are in need, those who have a great need and they fulfill that need, they too will receive mercy. And here we come back to our psalm in Psalm 41. David cries out for mercy after having stated the fact that it is a man who is blessed who considers the poor. So the promises reveal God's principle of mercy for the merciful. And if you will consider or concern yourself with the poor, those that are poor in wealth, those that are poor in health, those that are poor in spirit, God will consider you and bless you. God wants us to show compassion and be concerned about others. He wants that of his people. And so he reveals this wonderful truth to us, to know that if we'll consider those who are less than we are, less fortunate if you would, those who are in a worse condition than we are, if we'll consider them, that God promises in this text to consider us. And so God wants us to show compassion. And as I thought about this, and as I've already said before we started in the psalm starts out in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. And it gives that long list of things that a blessed man is. And over again in the psalms is a repeated theme. And here we come to the last psalm of the first book of Psalms, and it starts out with blessing, just like Psalm 1 started out with blessing. Here is the way, here's God's guarantee of blessing in your life. If you want to be a blessed man or woman, here is God's guarantee of blessing. It also shows us, not only that, but it teaches us what a truly blessed person is. And would you think about this with me as we look at this subject tonight? What would you consider a blessed person? Would you consider a blessed person someone with a lot of things? Would you consider a blessed person someone with a lot of money or possessions? Would you consider that a blessed person? What I find as we study the scripture tonight is that in God's economy, blessings are really not what you have so much as they are what you do with what you have. And so it is not the accumulation of things that make you a blessed person. A blessed person is someone who is generous with what they have. Isn't that what the text says? Blessed is he that considereth, that thinks about, that concerns himself with the poor. And so in the Psalms, the Bible speaks about a man being blessed in all kinds of ways. But tonight, we consider the subject matter of God blessing the benevolent. God blesses those that are givers, those that consider, that weigh out, those that are have in God's economy and through His providence have hard times, whether it be in the text, whether it be financial hard times, or whether it be being sick, whether it be someone who's having a problem and they're being poor in spirit. The Bible doesn't identify in the text the kind of poorness, and so it is in the broadest sense that it is used. And so God teaches us that God Himself concerns Himself with us in relationship to our consideration of others. God says a blessed man is a giving man, one who concerns himself with the poor. And so that's what we want to look at tonight as we study it together. The first thought is that I want you to notice that generosity guarantees blessing. Generosity guarantees blessing. God promises and pronounces His blessing on the generous. Here is a guaranteed return on your investment. God commits Himself to those that commit themselves to those in need. And that's what you find here. Not only here, but we're going to look at other verses tonight that show this principle of Scripture. Here is, beloved, a heavenly savings account. Now, I want you to know, you can go down to Barnett Bank and open you a savings account, or you can go online and open you a savings account. But here is a savings account where you pay it, where you pay ahead and put up and lay aside. You know, Jesus taught this where He says, don't lay up your treasures on earth, but where do you lay them up? Well, you lay up in heaven. Well, how can you lay up your treasures in heaven? Can you write out a check, you know, for $150,000 and send it up into heaven and say, well, there, Lord, here's the check? Or can you take your gold and throw it up in there and say, now, can you catch that? You know, and whatever falls to the ground will be mine. I mean, is that the way we do this thing? No, that's not the way that we lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. The way we do it, the way we lay ourselves up for treasures in heaven, is to be generous in God's economy. And that's the idea of the text. It is a heavenly savings account. And if you invest in the poor and the needy, if you invest with those who are in a way that's in a bad way, whether it be physical or spiritual, or whether it be in some element that they have, or whatever it may be, and the idea is that if you invest in those that are in need, God will give you what you need when your troubles come. Notice what he gives them out here in the text. He says, here's the man that's blessed. He's the man that considers the poor. You know how God's going to bless him? Well, if he considers the poor, if he lays up in God's heavenly savings account, then in his time of trouble, God's going to do something for him. God's going to deliver him. Not only that, but God's going to preserve him. God's going to keep him alive. He shall be blessed on the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of his languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. And so God gives these promises out for those who lay in store in God's storehouse or in his heavenly savings account. So when troubles come, he'll deliver you. And if you need preservation, he'll preserve you. If you need strength when you're sick, well, here is your policy. He has a better policy than MetLife can ever give you. I guarantee you that. This is a wonderful policy assured by the God of heaven. As you think about generosity guarantees blessing, God's economics cannot be beat. God's economics cannot be beat. No business school anywhere teaches this kind of return. No one. You could go to Harvard and go to Harvard Business School, and they will not teach you this kind of return. I guarantee you. This kind of return is something that only God teaches in His Word. If you give to the poor, you will be blessed by the all-powerful and all-possessing God of heaven and earth. That is the teaching of this scripture here in Psalm 41 and multiple scriptures that we're going to look at tonight. So generosity guarantees blessing. This, beloved, is God's economic class, and we'd all do well as God's people to listen to it. It beats the law of diminishing returns. You know, the law of diminishing returns, and it happens to all of us. We lay up on this earth, and then an inflation hits, or bad times hit. But that doesn't happen in God's economy. God's economy is a promise that if you do, I'll do, and God's not going to owe you anything. Now, I'm a testimony myself. I'm a testimony to what God does to people. I could tell you, but I wouldn't want to do that because then I might take away some reward. I could tell you about things that I've done, but I'm not going to go into that. I'm just going to tell you this, that I know from experience. I know that God's word is true from experience, that you cannot outgive God. You can, listen, you can give God when you don't have much to give. As a matter of fact, remember that widow woman that came into the temple and she gave her little two mites? Well, her two mites were bigger than the big mites that other people were given. God recognized that. And he said that she gave all. God recognized that. And God keeps account. You can be assured of this, that God keeps account of every dollar, every dime, every penny. He keeps account of all your time and all your effort. He keeps account of your thought life in relationship to all these things that we're talking about tonight. And so God teaches us that generosity guarantees blessings. God's economics cannot be beat. You will get ahead further and faster in giving to in God's approved way, in God's approved needs, than by saving and investing. I guarantee it. Listen to his program, okay? Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. This is his lending program. Now, I've looked at lending programs where you go to the bank and you borrow money. So that's a lending program, right? And so they get a certain amount of interest on your money. I got a loan on my house, and they get 4.8725. They don't get too much out of me on interest. And whenever it's all said and done, if a house values stay up, then I'll have paid less for my house than it's worth. A lot of people pay more for their house than it's worth. So I'll have a good investment that way. But here's a better investment. Here's a better investment. It is the Lord's lending program. And we would all do well, and of course we'd all check our heart, and I would check mine tonight in relationship to this, and the Lord has a way of checking it often. I can guarantee you that as well too. But in Proverbs 19 and verse 17, he says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the poor." No, he doesn't say that, does he? That's the way we think. He says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." You know, you cannot lose by giving, by lending to the poor, because you're not lending to them, really. You're lending. You have pity to the poor. You're lending to the Lord, and the Lord takes it into account. And he gets it all out there, and he pays you back to the full. Isn't that what it says here? "And that which he hath given, will he pay him again." Notice very carefully who repays in this lending program. It is the Lord that repays in this lending program. And he will not owe you anything, and you will not lack. In Proverbs 28 and verse 27. Proverbs 28 and verse 27, the Bible says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eye shall have many a curse." Now, this text we might ask ourselves, why are we cursed at times? We might ask ourselves, why do we lack at times? The Bible says here that if you give to the poor, you shall not lack. We must not be a greedy people. We must not be a stingy people. We must be, according to the principles of God's economics, giving, generous people. And this church is a very generous church. It has given. I preach tonight. I want to preach this because that's where we are in the psalm. But I know that this church and the people in this church, at least the majority of them, are very generous people. And when I talk about being generous, I'm talking about being generous with what they have. And you know, it's one thing to be like a socialist and be generous with whatever everybody else has. That's one thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being generous with what God has given to us. He's given it to us individually. He's given it to us as a church corporately. And as needs arise and we are coming to Providence and there are needs, then we must be a generous people in giving. And in doing so, God blesses. God's blessed this church. I'm telling you, beloved, this little church here that I've been a pastor of for almost 25 years, God's blessed us in so many kinds of ways, not just financially, but He has blessed us financially, but not just that way. He's blessed us in all kinds of ways. And I believe part of that is His faithfulness to His promise. If you're generous, I'll be generous. I really believe that. And God does those kind of things. But anyway, He tells us in this text that we are to look into His lending program. And His lending program is whenever you give, He gives in return, He will repay. We are to look for opportunities to invest in His giving program. You know, men are all about opportunities to invest their money. Matter of fact, a lot of people get in trouble because they want a quick investment, you know. Oh yeah, well, you get a high yield return on this one. You know, right now, if you put your money in the bank, I don't even know what it would be. I don't have that much in the bank. But anyway, what you put in there, you don't get but just a few cents. I mean, it's very, very, just on hundreds of dollars, you just get a few cents. And some men are looking, always looking. Oh, well, how can I get rich quick? Well, that's not a good thing to be doing. Number one, God speaks against getting wealth real quick. This is a timely investment program that over the time in your life, day in and day out, you're looking for ways to invest in God's program, knowing that the reward, the investment, is an eternal investment, and that God will see to it that He blesses you now and blesses you in the future. I believe that's what the Bible teaches here in this passage and in other passages. But we're to look for opportunities to invest in His giving program. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Proverbs 22 and verse 9. Notice what the scripture says there. He that hath a bountiful eye. That's why I say we are to look into His investment program. So a bountiful eye is an eye that is generous. He's looking for opportunities. An eye looking for opportunities. How can I give? Where can I give? Who's poor that I can help today? Here's an opportunity in Providence that comes along my path today. It is a bountiful eye. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So do you look for opportunities to give? To give liberally and generously? Or do you get excited about giving? This was convicting as I was studying about it, because sometimes we give out of, okay, here we go again. We got to do this. That's not the right way. As a matter of fact, the Lord doesn't like that kind of giving. He likes generous, happy, excited giving. Wow, I get to do something for the Lord today. I get to lend to Him. I'm getting to make another investment. You know, if a man knew he was going to get 15% return on his investment today, if it was a guaranteed 15% return on $10,000, it was guaranteed, and he knew for absolute certain he'd get a return on it, he'd make it. Guaranteed. If he had $10,000, okay, say, in 3 weeks, if you'll invest this today, well, say, that's too good to be true, Brother Shepherd. Well, if he knew it for sure that he could get a 15% return on $10,000 today, he'd make that kind of investment. But here's guaranteed investment. Day in and day out, serving the Lord. And isn't that what he's saying here? Blessed is he that considereth the poor. He has them on his mind. He looks for opportunities where he could do this. You know what he's doing? He's investing. Now, he's investing in them. He's investing in the Lord. But the Lord gives some promises relationship to that investment. That's what it says there. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. So this law of giving, and these are just a few verses that I've given you tonight, is God's ordained law, just like gravity keeps you on the pew tonight, keeps your feet on the ground as you walk out this building later on, keeps you, your car from floating off in the air whenever you drive back home. It's just as sure and true and real as gravity. It's just as sure and true and real as every other natural law that God has created. And here, he gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom into this law. Now, someone might ask, well, where am I to be generous? Where am I to be generous like this? So, generosity guarantees blessings. And the second one is, where am I to be generous this way? Well, we believe that God gives rules for who the poor are as well. Not only does he tell us that if you're blessed for giving to the poor, but he tells us who the poor are that we are to be giving toward. For instance, the poor are the orphans and the widows and others suffering under God's providence. For whatever reason in God's providence, they have been brought to this place. And you know, I do believe, as Jesus taught, when Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. And there are reasons for that. There are, of course, poor decision reasons why people are poor. But they're not the only reasons that people are poor. Sometimes people are in places where there's war. You know, everybody here tonight, if we went to war with China tonight, for instance, it might be economically devastating to our country. We may think it's not going to be, but if we were to go to war with them, or if we had them and Iran, and say if we had some of the other Russia, and they kind of got on league with each other and we went at world war, we're not promised what we have. And so when we find that there are poor saints in different places, like in the book of the Acts, whenever the church at Jerusalem was scattered and they took offering back to the poor there, they were doing that as acts of benevolence. So we must consider, and I said that to say this, we must consider that there are those that are suffering under the acts of God's providence that God in his providence puts in our path. In the book of James 1, for instance, he teaches us that this is what pure religion is all about. Pure religion is that's undefiled. James 1:27. He says there this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit, and the word visit there doesn't mean just go to their house, or go to an orphanage, or go to the nursing home like we do. We do go to the orphanage. It doesn't mean just to go there, but it means to do something while you're there. It has the idea of being a help to them, to visit them in the hour of their need. In other words, you be giving, generous, helping at that time. To visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. So one of the proofs of pure religion is to visit them. So in the process of God's providence, we are to help them. God's rules for giving, of course, begin and start with our own family. In the book of 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Talking about giving, we're talking about God blessing the benevolent. And the first person, the first people that you're to be benevolent with are those in your own house, your own household, which would, by extension, would not be just, you know, your wife and your children, but those beyond that. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And of course, in the context, he's talking about widows. He doesn't provide for his own widows. In other words, in the churches, they had a widow's list. You remember back in the book of Acts, whenever they had the deacons where they were first chosen, it was because there were widows in the church, and there were Grecians, that is, those that were of Hebrews that were Greeks, and then there were the Hebrews, and they were battling back and forth. Well, you show favoritism to this one or that one. So they ordained men and said, okay, men, you see who's in need. It was, you know, thousands of people. You find out who the widows are. So they would have had a widow's list. When you come to 1 Timothy 4, you find that that widow's list has some limitations on it. And the first is that it is the first and primary responsibility of family members to take care of their family before they become a burden on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they neglect them, it doesn't mean that they can't provide for them, because they may not be able to, but if they neglect them, if they neglect their own responsibilities first, then they are, as the text says here, worse than an infidel. They've denied the faith. Because how can you deny the faith? What does it mean to deny the faith? Well, the faith teaches us to be giving. The faith teaches us to be loving. The faith teaches us to be generous. And we're first of all to be generous with our own possessions. As we said, you know, the Lord didn't set up a socialistic concept in the Lord's church where we give the shirts off of everybody else's back, but don't give our own shirts. We must give our own shirt first. And so that's the principle that's laid down here. So it starts with our family. And then it moves out from that and moves to those in the Lord's church, like in the book of Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that they had all things in common in Acts chapter 2. They gave to the necessity of the church. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says there, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." That is, that he gives. So we're to be a giving people, generous people, to the poor in our families, to the poor in our church, and then to the poor in other churches. You know, they say charity starts at home, and that's a biblical principle. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, but it expands. It goes outside of those the limits of your own home and your own church. In Romans 15 and verse 26, the Bible says, "It hath pleased them of Macedonia and of Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." So those in those two places, they took up a collection, and the churches gave, people in the churches gave, the churches themselves gave, and they gave to the poor saints that were at Jerusalem. This teaches us, again, the principle of being generous and where to be generous at. So we'd start at home in our families, to our relatives, then we'd come to those in the church that are poor, then those in other true churches that are poor, and as I said earlier, those that we find along our way. You know, the Good Samaritan there in the book of Luke 10, remember him? The Good Samaritan found the fellow that was beaten up and had some need, and he helped him. Matter of fact, he cleaned him up, put some oil and wine in his wound. He took him to an inn, and he gave some money. And so that was someone that he found along the way. And so this is where to be generous. God hasn't charged us to help every single person in the whole world, but we should be generous with what we come in contact with. And He loves a cheerful giver in these areas. You'll understand, beloved, that the poor, and as we think about the poor, the Bible also, in contrast to this, warns against people who are poor because they're foolish or lazy. You know, the Bible teaches a rule for men who won't work. You know what that rule is? Let them starve. People who refuse to work, the Bible teaches that those men who don't want to work, not those that can't work, and it's not those who think they can't work, but those who won't work, who refuse to work, the Bible says that let that man kind of man starve. So we are careful, and churches should be careful in this area. But in spite of all these things, we go back to this scripture, and that is that God likes a man to think about, to consider, to invest time and effort in the poor. And if he'll do that, God guarantees blessing to him for his generosity. And then I conclude tonight with this truth, and that is that God is our example. The most bountiful eye in the universe is the eye of God. The most giving heart, the most loving and generous one that ever is or will be, is God Himself. And so He has been merciful to us. He gives to us. As a matter of fact, everything that we have, whether it be our health to make work and thereby to be able to give to others, whatever we have, whether it's our health, whether it's our resources, whether it's our wealth, whether it's our mind, God's given that to us. He's given us all good and perfect gifts. And He has the most bountiful eye. And let me show you about His bountiful eye in Matthew 5 and verse 45. In Matthew 5 and verse 45. Well, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." The reason that you sat down at a meal today somewhere, and I know all of you have sat down to some kind of meal today, is because God was generous with His sunshine and His rain. He was generous with the harvest that some farmer had. He was generous to give you enough to go out and buy something from those farmers at a grocery store. He was generous to you, even though you didn't deserve it. He was generous to you and to me. He showed mercy. Matter of fact, His sun rises on the evil and the good, the just and the unjust. And of course, His generosity extends far beyond physical, temporal things. His generosity is expressed in its greatest way in Him sending His Son to die for us. What a generous God that He would give even to His enemies, and to give so bountifully as He's given to us a salvation that doesn't cost us one thing. We are truly poor and needy, aren't we? And He considered the poor, did He not? And He provided for us. And so as we think about this text, as we go home tonight, God blesses the benevolent. Be benevolent. Think about it. Think about who you can lend to, who you can give to, who you can help along the way, knowing that God's keeping account. He's got His record book, and He's got all the details in it, and He won't owe you a thing. His heavenly savings account is out of this world. It really is. And He'll bless you. Not only will He bless you then, but as this text says, He'll even bless you now. On the bed of your languishing, He'll make it for you. He'll come whenever you're sick, and He'll be there with you and encourage you, and He'll make your sick bed. He'll do that. He's promised to do it. Trust Him. Believe what He said. And do what He said. And you'll be rewarded greatly. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Thank you for your attention to God's Word.